Score another victory for a smoker's widower who wins a huge verdict. We have some of the details on that. You'll be surprised by this one, too. You know, the long reach of big tobacco. Michael Vick signs with the Philadelphia Eagles. Some are happy, some are downright disgusted. It's a great fair or foul. In the meantime, two air traffic controllers have been suspended over that Hudson crash in New York City. But I wonder why the FAA just didn't can them. Think about the lives that were lost. 9 people died, for goodness sakes, in a collision of a tourist helicopter and that plane. The guy flying the plane was set to be married, not even 30 years old. The tourists from Italy in the helicopter were celebrating a 25th wedding anniversary, and there were young kids killed in that crash, too. Here's where we start this hour of America Tonight. You know, it's that thing in your mind. I know when you get into an airplane, yes, I could be killed in a car, walking across the street, all the ifs and what-ifs in the world. But if you bundle them all up and put a neat bow on it, it still doesn't help the families of those that were killed in this senseless situation in New York City on a very clear day. Sadly, because it was shocking, but right there in broad daylight, there are so many pictures available of this video. You can go to YouTube, etc. You can click on half the websites in America and you'll be able to see it and realize, my God, those people are dying because of, now as it turns out, two air traffic controllers from New Jersey, from Teterboro Airport. What happened was they were following the plane. The controller handling the flight of the Piper PA-32, that was the airplane, right, Saratoga, carrying 3 people. What happened was he started having a conversation on the telephone when the accident happened, lost the attention span, focused on the conversation, how they termed it, inappropriate conversation. So the supervisor wasn't there. Why? Because the supervisor left the building. So what they have done, because they really think that they contributed to the accident. I mean, they contributed to the accident. That's what the ruling is, that they decided they're going to have to suspend them. They're on administrative leave, and they're starting disciplinary proceedings. I mean, skip to, I know you got to do the legal thing, but skip to the end of the alphabet and get rid of these people. Now, this is the thing. The Air Traffic Controllers Union, not happy with this. They are urging caution because what they're saying is we support that any allegation, this is what they released, is fully investigated before there is a rush to judgment about the behavior of any controller. So the National Transportation Safety Board is working with the FAA and they're trying to really make sure they're pretty thorough about this, but that's a given. Of course they're going to do that. So killed on board the plane, the owner and the pilot, Steve Altman, 60 years old, Pennsylvania, his brother, David, and a 16-year-old son was killed as well, Daniel Altman, rather. His son was killed, too, just 16 years old, Douglas. They took off from Philly, and they were landed at Teterboro, and then they took off again. They were going to Ocean City, New Jersey, and they did not make that destination, as you well know. Then in the helicopter, what you had in the helicopter were those tourists from Italy. You had a 51-year-old man, his son who was 16. You had another boy in the plane who was 15, and they were there, and their spouses decided not to fly with them in the helicopter because they wanted to shop instead. So they were flying, the men and the boys were flying while they were shopping, and they were there celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. Terrible story. And here's the rub of this, though. Because you had the air traffic controller, and you had no response, and they were looking for some kind of a response. Man, you just have to shake your head and say, wow, could this have been avoided? I mean, why did this happen? Leaving the building, involved in a phone conversation, not paying attention to the screen. Rent a movie, if you're curious, called Pushing Tin. Granted, it's a movie, so it's, you know, Hollywoodized. But in the movie, it's about what it's like to be an air traffic controller in a very stressful situation. In this case, they're at Teterboro, and you think of, again, the amount of traffic, especially on the weekends that you get out of there. They call them hamburger runs, where people who have planes, whatever, jump in the planes there, go down to the shoreline, go down to other areas. So this, did this really have to happen? And again, it's sad that it probably comes down to the air traffic controllers. Allegedly, they're involved in this, and this is why they've been suspended. If they can nail it and stick it to the wall, I think that they need to let them go. I also mentioned the smoker's widower winning the big verdict. It's so odd to see a sentence like that, isn't it, or a headline like that. So in looking at it, I remember the story. It was a Florida jury. They awarded a 92-year-old man $1.9 million, who knows if he'll ever really see it, in compensatory damages for the death of his wife. And his wife was a former two-pack-a-day smoker who started when she was 15, died in her 70s. So you had a jury with five women and one man. They deliberated. You knew this was bad. They deliberated for big tobacco anyway. They deliberated for more than a day before deciding on the amount. How about that? They found that Philip Morris was only 36.5% responsible for the lung cancer. So where they could have pushed the award, they could have put the total at 5.3, but instead it went to 1.9 because of what I just told you. So Philip Morris, naturally, is going to appeal the case. And, you know, who knows, again, who knows how long that takes. But there are a bunch of cases, actually, that are ongoing with tobacco and are in the court systems right now. But this verdict is a big deal because in looking at this, you may see even more people come forward. And clearly, this was a woman who was a smoker and... you know, in looking at the disease, that's the whole thing. How liable are the tobacco people, the tobacco products, in the deaths of people who are longtime smokers? So here you have a little bit of an edge, but, you know, what'll happen, like I said, he'll never see the money because by the time you get through that appeals process, it'll take forever. It'll be tied up in the courts for a very, very long time. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about a man who was a guitar icon, a legend, without Les Paul. I don't know that rock and roll would be what it was when I was growing up, or probably when many of you were growing up, something that started in the 50s, if we didn't have the inventor of the electric guitar, and he was such a visionary. I think our music would be a little bit different. A tribute to Les Paul coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. www.smokerswidower.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Enjoyment of hearing people laugh, the applause. There's ego involved. You want to perform. You want them to like you.
Ah, that's Les Paul, who said all you got to do is play the right note. Les Paul, dead at the age of 94 due to complications of pneumonia. He's a legendary guitarist. You're hearing him right there. And the inventor. Check this out. Crank it up, brother. Cool stuff. Hey, America Tonight, Kate Delaney. And that's our hats off to Les Paul. B.B. King said he was the founding father of modern music, and amen to that, absolutely. Slash said Les Paul was a shining example of how full one's life can be. He was so vibrant and full of positive energy. And most people who dealt with Les Paul said that that's what they remember in their dealings with him. And there's so many that listened to what he had to say, listened to his innovations, and he's enshrined in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Grammy Hall of Fame, the Inventors Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He's survived by three sons, a daughter, five grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, and he had a standing gig at a jazz club in New York where he would play with just a veritable who's who of musicians, and I'm sure there are some people that have some great memories of listening to him play. And it was the go-to guitar for people like Jimmy Page. And of course, there are rivals to Les Paul and to Gibson, but he was the guy who invented the electric guitar, and as I said, obviously shaped music, dead at the age of 94, so he was lucky to live such a long life because he had many ailments throughout the years, different things from arthritis to burst, you know, blowing out his eardrums to a car accident that left him in the hospital for 2 years even. So that's Les Paul, but we were talking about some other things, too, kicking around with a heavy heart what's happening across the country. And bravo, I say this again, and I mean this, to everybody who is exercising their freedom of speech. You go to those town halls and don't listen to the name-calling, to being called un-American, unpatriotic, and all the other things that are being thrown out. Evildoers is the latest thing from Harry Reid, the majority Senate leader. The Senate majority leader. I just don't get it. And that's what I mean by the name-calling. Name-calling from the politicians, just stupid to call Americans un-American, unpatriotic, because they show up at these meetings and they express what they think is craziness at some of the things that they have heard that could be part of health care reform, because let's face it, there are a couple of bills that are floating around. Let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Hey, I have a couple topics, and you have to calm me down because I'm a little angry here. And sometimes I go off topic, but I really want your listeners to America Tonight to listen up to what I have to say. A couple of weeks ago in the New York Post, there was a little bit of blurb, and this goes to the terrorism that you talked about and how there's no justice in the world and the name-calling, Nancy Pelosi in particular, but let me stick to topic. New York Post said that, very quietly, Eric Holder, the Attorney General, is going after the contractors and the low-level CIA agents under the Bush administration that did the interrogation and who wrote the interrogation memos. It just so happens, by coincidence, I happen to read today Jennifer Rubin's column in the Weekly Standard about his Eric Holder's Justice Department. Obama promised us that he would not politicize that office, as we were told under Bush did with the firings of the attorneys generals and Alberto Gonzalez and everything else. Very important article by Jennifer Rubin. Both Lamar Smith and a fellow, let me find it here, Frank Wolf, who's a moderate Republican in the House of Representatives from Northern Virginia. They've been asking the Justice Department for memos on a number of issues that the Justice Department is going after, like the Guantanamo Bay release and how much the FBI, they blocked the FBI from talking to House of Representatives. Mr. Wolf said that he's a ranking member one of the committees, and the Justice Department and Obama and Holder are ignoring. They're ignoring members of Congress. Now, you might say, where am I going with this? But just give me another 30 seconds or whatever you can give me.
Go ahead.
The case with the Black Panthers, where they were released after they were confronting people in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
He's got other members of the Justice Department that are unqualified. This administration is not listening to members of Congress. It's doing whatever it damn well pleases. It has said it smacks of the Nixon administration with this whisper campaign and everything else that's going on. My point is, I can't read this article to you, but people should realize what this guy's doing. And it goes back to what both Tomas and what Don talked about, and what I talked about, we throw these words out like communism. But listen, this is fascism is happening here because you got an administration, Justice Department is going after former administration. They're political enemies. They have an enemies list. They are equating this. Obama is going. It's fascism. Jonah Goldberg wrote the book Liberal Fascism. This is not right-wing fascism. This is left-wing, which has always been very similar to Nazism and Stalinism. And this is no joke, America. This is why people are afraid, because now you're going to have the car companies under the government's thumb, the banks, and the drug companies. With this drug bill, they're going to be under the government's thumb. And the reason I bring up Eric Holder, he was undersecretary, or he was underneath Janet Reno when they burned down Waco, Texas.
That's right.
I'm telling you, there is another Waco on the horizon. And if it happens, there's going to be an uprising in this country that the military won't even be able to handle. Because the reason I bring that up is because if you watch CNN today, Mark Potok from the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're on the soapbox again, right, about the militia, the right-wing militia,
mm-hmm.
and an abortion doctor. But they're not facing, and neither is the Justice Department, as far as I see, they're not going after the lone wolf terrorists that are not militia. Militia's in the Constitution, for God's sake.
Right.
They're going after gun owners. They're not going after the Islamic terrorists. And that brings me back to the scumbag in Scotland. The woman was right. There is a case for the capital punishment because now he's getting out. My point is there's no justice. There is no justice in this world, whether it's the oil money, the drugs in Afghanistan, what she said, Libya, and kowtowing to the Muslim extremists. That's what the administration is doing. They have no guts when it comes to certain individuals, and they're pumping up other individuals like the so-called militias that they think are going to cause some kind of civil war here. They're the ones that are pushing this country so far to the left. And the people like me, like you, and people that listen, just do your homework. And really quick, the last thing, you must let me finish. Nancy Pelosi called us, these people, these demonstrators, are Nazis.
Right.
I'm a gun owner, and I got into guns after 9/11 when those towers came down because a bell went off and said, no one's out there to protect me ever but myself. My forefathers fought in wars, World War II, my uncle, people like me that believe in the Constitution. We liberated the death camps. We told the Jews, stop giving up your guns. When you gave up the guns, that's when the Nazis take over. The National Firearms Act passed in 1968 was lifted from the Nazi playbook. The National Firearms Act in 68, after Martin Luther King and Kennedy were shot, was written by Chris Dodd's father, Senator Dodd from Connecticut. It was lifted right from the Nazi playbook. We don't want another Holocaust, and we want the Jews to be able to be safe in this country and everybody else, every other group. The firearm aspect of it is so important, but they keep telling us that we're Nazis. No, Nancy Pelosi, you're the freaking fascist Nazi. And how dare you say that? You owe all of us an apology for what you said. We're trying to protect the American people. We're trying to tell you when the terrorism, when the tyranny is too great, we must fight back. And it's going to come time, like I said in our Declaration of Independence, to dissolve the bonds of this union and start again. That's what they're pushing us towards. I just call us not Nazis. You owe my uncle, my father, my great uncles an apology that fought for this country. And guys like me, you know, Gun Owners of America, Second Amendment Foundation, NRA, we get pilloried. We're trying to tell you, the only way you're going to fight these people, and I don't know if it's in the street, but when the government no longer fears you, when they come and take your guns and everything else, your freedom of speech, then they take over. How dare you call us Nazis? We saved you from Nazis. It's just, I get flustered, and God bless you for giving me so much time, but it's
no,
so
I
important
agree.
That people realize that our side wants to protect your liberty, and they want to take it away.
Thank yeah. You. And then Mark makes some good points. He's passionate. We let him get on the soapbox tonight. But what he's saying, and he pulls it all together, it's, you know, baby, it's live free or die. We know that our friends in New Hampshire feel that way. And you know that I support the Second Amendment. I think that everybody should have the right to bear arms and freedom of speech and whatnot. And, of course, anti-fairness doctrine that would kill this country. Stay with us.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, was written for anyone who wants to survive the upcoming and ongoing financial storm. Get prepared and go to hereswhatyoudo.net and buy the $6 book. He is also trying to help us by running for Congress to stop the thievery and loss of liberties. Please arm yourself with his guide and go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
When wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now, 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
It's soapbox night here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody's passionate about this country. That's what I love about doing this show. Passions pour out over lots of different things that we've talked about, and people are worried. There is no doubt about that, and I think it's good to be concerned and be involved in whatever your take is on what's happening. The one thing that Mark said that I would agree with, though, and be very careful about this, pay attention to what's going on, try to read on what's happening, whatever, because the more informed you are, the more you can make an informed decision, and it doesn't have to be innuendo and rumor and blogs and, you know, whatever. You can make up your own mind because you have freedom of choice. That's why we live in this great country, right? We don't live in Iran. We live here. We don't live in Cuba lining up for rice and beans and being told what we can do. Hey, coming up next in a short while, we're going to let you hear an interview. Matt Lauer interviewed the captain, Captain Rich Phillips, if you remember, from the Maersk, Alabama. And remember what that was like. I'm thinking that's when I first jumped on the Genesis Communications Network. 5 days held at bay in that little dinghy. Remember the Somalian pirates? And he said some interesting things. And we were all pretty captivated by this, and even late night jokes, you know, there were jokes that were made, of course, once he was back and everything, but the Conan O'Briens and Leno's and Letterman and all those guys were making jokes about it. But a lot of people paid attention to Captain Phillips, so he's got a book deal and a movie deal coming out pretty soon. At least, I mean, he's got the deals, but they're working on it. How about that? Bernard is listening to us in the great state of Michigan. Hey, Bernard.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Kate. I listen to you every night here.
Thanks.
I wanted to mention one thing. Mary Ford, you know, was part of the Les Paul partnership, and she had a lot to do with the development of his tunes at the time that he became famous.
Yeah, Mary Ford was his wife.
Yeah, I think, but I don't think they were married very long. I think long before, I'm not sure, but I think that she was his partner before they got married.
Ah.
Well, no, they got married right away.
I think she was his partner, and then they got married. But you're right. She, you know, they sang together and stuff. And
oh yeah, I know that. She spent many hours helping him develop his technique.
Yeah, that's. I mean, the whole story is very cool, I think. And from what I understand, it was in the 50s. He had a bunch of hits with Mary Ford, like "How High the Moon," and here's one that I think most people would know, Vaya con Dios, that song.
I had every one of those. In fact, I've got his album. I've got all of them tunes, and you're right. They're all bunched in at the same time.
Yeah, so you like Les Paul. I love his jazz
stuff. Oh, yeah,
he used great.
To play, well, he used to play, I mean, the radio stations played his tunes a lot in them days.
Yeah, it's amazing, the innovations. It's crazy. And I said this, there were rivals to Gibson eventually, like the Fender, et cetera. But you can thank Les Paul for that, because then, of course, everybody was jumping on it and trying to come up with new ways to make music. But I don't think people realize some people don't. You obviously do, but a lot of people don't realize the impact that he had on the music industry. And you bring up Mary Ford, and is someone who knows the music, you know, because he created, remember the multi-track thing? I think I mentioned this. There's one.
I remember one time when they explained how he did that.
Right, and she harmonizes.
Twice.
Yes, she harmonized with herself on some of the stuff because he was tinkering around with that on some of the guitar parts. You can hear that in some of their old songs, and I think it's very, very cool. As I said, he built
that
log.
That's great.
I'm glad you called and said that and brought up Mary Ford. Thank you, because we didn't mention her, but she was a big part of it.
There was another thing. When I was flying, I used to do pilot fly around Washington, D.C. I was on a cross-country one time taking a commercial flying course. I was doing a letdown just across the Hudson River in Virginia, across from what used to be called Washington International. I think it's called Reagan International today.
Mm-hmm.
While I was doing a letdown, an airliner appeared on my left at the same level, and a pilot and co-pilot was looking at me like, will you get out of the way? I was flying a Simpson Voyager single engine, and I had to push the power in and pull back on the wheel to see if my tail would clear their tail.
You're kidding.
No, but they were illegal. They were illegally doing letdowns over an airfield, and that they were taking a shortcut. And the people that ran the airfield said that they complained to the FAA many times, and they had never done anything about it. But it was a clear miss for me. I really thought our tails were going to hit.
Wow, good for you that you survived that, and you were a good enough pilot to be able to do that, like you said, and clear that. But that had to be scary to look over and to be able to actually see them in the cockpit. That was close.
Yeah, you're governed by the law of survival when you fly a plane and you're not by yourself. That's what the instructors tell you when you go out to solo on your own. They say you do the right thing because of the intention of a person to survive.
Yeah, no kidding. Good for you, a pilot. How about that?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for your call. Call us again, Bernard.
Okay, I will. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, the thing with the planes, we have DJ on, and we've had other pilots on and stuff, and especially with small planes, I don't know how many people have been on even some of those real small commuter planes. I think I told this story, but if I didn't, I mean, so I'm sorry if you have to hear this again, but I worked at KOB in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's just an NBC affiliate television station, and they had, and they still have this in some places in the United States, a thing called Wednesday's Child, where they help kids with cancer and just make awareness of adoptions of kids and all this stuff. Really great thing. I don't even know who started it, what media company started it. But I was doing that at a local TV station. I was a reporter, and I was doing that and some other things. And the people in the newsroom, they had straws, and because they were going to send somebody up to cover this dinosaur track story from Albuquerque. It was going to be like 2 hours in the air, and then also to do this Wednesday's child piece. And, you know, a lot of the married people didn't want to go, and I drew, like, one of the short straws, and I was brand new to the newsroom, and I had to go. And it was a single-engine plane, and the people in the newsroom didn't, you know, were scared to death, because they thought, ah, single engine, because you don't have that backup if that engine dies. And I was pretty risky, you know, not worried about that kind of stuff, but after they had talked me into it and I did the straw thing and I had to go up, I was a little bit worried. I was sitting with, it was so tight in the plane, I was sitting with the camera, the guy's camera on my lap as we flew off to do those stories. Matt, have you ever been in a single engine plane or at one of those tiny, tiny commuter hop planes?
No, I have not. I have a buddy who we were going to go up in his plane one day because he's a pilot, but something about like the weather or something happened where we couldn't go up. And that was, like, my only close experience to actually having to do that. And he's actually a private pilot for some oil company. He drives people out to or flies people out to the oil rigs over off, like, the coast of Canada or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's they can do pretty well. They can make a good living doing that, you know, jumping people to different places. And people who are pilots, and we should ask Bernard this, but there's just a rush about being a pilot. There's something about that freedom in the skies and stuff. But these days, and with your buddy flying, it's a whole different ballgame because you have so many more planes up in the air.
And, yeah, and a lot more people doing, I mean, I think the whole private just airline industry has grown exponentially, you know, the last, you know, even 10, 15 years. Like, everyone's taking private jets. They have those small little Lear jets now, and you just got a lot more traffic than you ever had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the skies are much more crowded, absolutely, than years past. And with, as you said, with more people getting their licenses and more people up in the air, it's a whole different ball game. And that's why when that happened over the Hudson, I thought, wow, I thought both of these pilots were pretty experienced, and now they're looking into the whole air traffic controller thing and suspending the two guys, the FAA, and one's on the phone call, and the other person's missing, not even there, supervising, and that's too bad. That's all it takes. It's that pushing tin, like I said, check out that movie. That's exactly what it is for people like Bernard who are pilots and who was a pilot, and they know about it, they get it. But it's like a video game. It's wild to see what it's like inside of an air traffic controller's you know, digs, basically all of them in one room, depending on if it's a big airport where you are, if it's a smaller airport or whatever. That's why there's so many strenuous tests usually that they put the air traffic controllers through. And they have I forget what the retirement age is, but it's pretty young because they're worried about the planes, frankly, and they're worried about the people and the hours that they put in and the staring at the screens and the concentration level. And Teterboro, I've been there, it's funny. It's an airport where you think of the CEOs and all the people in New York who have planes and they're parked out there. You know, Donald Trump has something out there the people that's where Kennedy took off from. Remember John Jr. when his plane went down, of course, in Massachusetts, in that area, but he took off from Teterboro. That's where they, you know, pretty much if you lived in the city, that's where you kept your planes. So I'd have to think that the operation inside, you know, the air traffic controller operation would have to be a pretty decent size. Not the, you know, not like New York City like JFK, but probably pretty decent, I'm assuming. All right, hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to let you hear what the captain had to say after that ordeal, Captain Richard Phillips. Stay with us.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio-blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
Coming up, Michael Vick signs with Philadelphia. Tiger Woods, incredible, hits 12 of 14 fairways and 15 of 18 greens. He's been amazing at the PGA championships, but what else is new? It was just last week when he hit his 70th win on the PGA Tour. Man, crazy, crazy good. All right, I promised that we'd let you hear a little snippet from Matt Lauer's interview on the Today Show. I thought it was really interesting to hear Captain Phillips. I mean, we have heard him on a couple of other things, but it's been a while since he just had a calm, relaxing sit-down, because it's how long has it been since April and those 5 days when the world was captivated by this with the Somalia pirates and the fact that he was on that tiny dinghy having no idea what was going to happen. I mean, the pirates board, and he's got basically a fire hose on the Maersk, Alabama. And, of course, a lot of attention was drawn to the Gulf of Aden and that whole area and the dangers. I was just mentioning this the other day that there were some people released after 4 months. It was like an Italian ship. So here's what Captain Phillips had to say about, you know, getting his groundings back, feeling better, feeling, you know, like he could kind of get out of his head with everything that happened. Here's what he said.
It actually took a few weeks. And as one person said to me, give it a month before you make a decision or change anything. And I would say a few weeks before it actually got back to normal and started calming down.
It was for me. I think actually the phone call that I got Sunday evening after Richard got rescued, I think I was a little more emotionally, justifiably so. But sitting in the White House was just never thought I would ever find myself there, and it was just overwhelming to have, you know, met somebody who actually was involved and, you know, like you say, a powerful man.
Saving your husband's life
saving
or helping.
Saving my husband's life.
Yeah, because remember, you know, whatever force is necessary, that's true. That's what Obama said. It was somebody who said this the other day. Well, the one good thing he did, I think it was Stu, the one good thing he did do was go and tell them to get the captain and do whatever it was. So now it's a book deal and a movie deal, and who knows what's next. It's like Captain Sullenberger and, you know, Sully and the landing of the plane on the Hudson. Those were two powerful images. And I thought to myself when he landed that plane, I thought, wow, he's going to go and speak. He's got things he can do now. Maybe he'll step away from flying. Some of the people aboard that flight have continued on with their careers, like the co-pilot went back and some of the flight attendants did. I think there's still one flight attendant who hasn't flown. And Captain Sullenberger, of course, after that, you got to think, man, the guy has just nerves of steel to be able to do that. But same thing with that captain. It's like, take me, don't take the men, and bravo to him. So it's kind of good to see him just relaxed, calm, and do a sit-down television interview. On to sports shorts. We already told you a little bit about Michael Vick, if you were listening in one of our previous hours, but he signs on. He gets the chance to play in a West Coast offense because that's what Philly runs. And the Philadelphia franchise isn't looking to make a change at quarterback, but if you were looking for the place for Michael Vick to go where he would fit the best, probably Philly is it. So he signs a multi-year deal with the Eagles. After everything that happened, how will he be embraced by the fans of the NFL? I think it could be a little bit dicey. Because, you know, you think of the electrocutions of the dogs and all that sort of stuff. But he paid his debt to society. So to me, hey, he did the time. He did the time. It's up to him to see where he goes from here. And if I were him, no kidding, I'd be involved with every single humane organization that would have me. And I would go and I would speak and say, you know, this was from when I was a kid. This is what happened. Talk about whatever it is, how he got into dog fighting and went down that deep, dark path. And who knows, maybe he shakes some sense into some people, but maybe that's asking too much, too. But regardless, bottom line is he signs with Philadelphia. In the meantime, I think this is a pretty scary story. If you're a soccer fan or one of your kids is or one of your grandkids is, you know, there's a household name, Landon Donovan, tested positive for swine flu, yeah. And he's saying that he contracted it in the United States. He said he felt something odd when he got into Miami on Sunday. He just said he felt really, really bad, just felt bad. They took a swab from his nose and confirmed that that's what it was. Yeah. Woo! And Donovan is such a stud for the U.S. soccer team, but how many others could possibly, you know, who could possibly have swine flu? He believes he got it in the United States. So, and he's been tearing it up for the last couple of months. He scored, I think, in his last couple of MLS league games. He scored in all of them, and he was even the league's player of the month in July. But the reason of bringing it up here on this show and for sports shorts purposes is here we go with another athlete, and I like how he described it. He said he's had other flus and colds, and it didn't seem so bad, and he just felt like he was kind of hit with a ton of bricks, and he felt lethargic and slow, didn't feel normal, so good for him. He goes to the doctor. It had nothing to do with heat. It was, of course, the swine flu. Matt, when you hear stuff like that, does that kind of worry you, like thinking, man, this is bubbling up all over the place? The, you know, Donovan getting it, and at Wimbledon back in June, some of the fringe, not fringe players, but other people associated with the players, a whole bunch of them got it. So, you know, we talked about it a bunch, but now you're starting to see that more people are contracting that strain.
Yeah, I'm still not that worried about it, though, because it's one of those things where it's you know, contagious disease or illness, virus, whatever it is. And, you know, if you get it, you get it. There's a host on our network that had that. And he was just said he was run down for a couple weeks, and now he's starting to get better. But it's just, I don't think it's as dangerous as everyone is making it out to be.
Well, I don't think it's dangerous if it's treated. If you go like he went to the doctors, they find that that's what it is, and he, you know, he takes care of it. But the problem is, if you're overweight, if you have, if you're already ill, that's the people who have died. If you're already ill with something else, that's where it's dangerous.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
I watched that that soccer match though. I was pretty ticked off. The I don't know if you probably didn't watch any of it because it was on Telemundo 2, which I have no idea who gets that station. I went to a bar and watched it with a couple of my buddies, and you should have seen the Mexican fans and just how terrible they were to our players, throwing beers on them and throwing everything at them. And the refs were just letting all this terrible behavior going on between the players, too. Like, anytime we'd do something to a Mexican player, we'd get carded. Anytime they'd be, like, punching our players and choking them, and they wouldn't get called for anything. So it was one pissed-off day for me on Wednesday when that game was going on. Not a huge
soccer. I'll have to go and see part of that.
But it's like, I get really into the national team. Like, Landon Donovan's my favorite player, and I've been watching them, you know, since probably like 02 was when they started making a big run in world competition. So I'll keep tabs on it for the World Cup 2010 coming up.
All right, so that you can be our eyes for that one. And, boy, that would have been interesting to see. It's funny you talk about throwing beer and what the fans did. Sad thing with the Flying Hawaiian, Shane Victorino from the Philadelphia Phillies center fielder, he filed a police report against a Cub fan. So police charged a 21-year-old man with two misdemeanor counts. And what happened was he showered him with beer and so it's one count of battery, one count of illegal conduct while in a sports facility. What an idiot. What a bonehead. And you might have seen the pictures of it, but he's out there making a catch, Victorino was. And of course, the Phillies blew out the Cubs. It was like 12-5. And this Cub comes flying out, beer all over the place from the bleachers while he was just trying to catch a fly ball. And it was, you know, come on, ridiculous. Give me a break. And supposedly the fan who actually threw the beer got away, but he was hit with a cup thrown by fans as he caught that ball. And man, looking at the picture, just sad. It's part of the game, you know. It's but it's a stupid thing. And like Victorino said, you know, it's one of the things that you have to deal with, but I just want to make sure that the guy gets what's due. And the Phillies are sticking it to the Cubs, man. 12-5 on Wednesday, 6-1 on Thursday, and hold them accountable. Can't let people get away with that, or they're going to move the fans further back from the action, and that would be the shame of it because of one idiot. I agree with Les Paul. We're all looking just to hit that one right note.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!